You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome. This is 211 of the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit.
It is, and we're awake, we promise.
Barely. And hey, the guest tonight, we have Kayla here from Hatch Detroit, and we have the absolute winner of Hatch Detroit and the $50,000 prize. We have Hamisi here. He's a proprietor of Baobab Fair, which is a East African little pop-up that came up and just absolutely got rave reviews and won the whole thing. And hey, before we get diving in too deep, do us all a favor. We donated our lunch money today to what's going on in Houston.
Yeah.
We got rain today, but it's definitely not what they're going through down there.
No.
$20 goes a long way. Pick your favorite charity, whoever it may be.
And, yeah, there's a good link posted on our Facebook page. Go ahead and scroll through, figure out what you're most comfortable donating to. Go do.
Yeah, $20. You know, I spent that today taking my kids to Culver's. It's the least we can do.
Exactly.
To help all those in need. And on that note, Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Everything was that!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come. Shut up.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly. Come on.
The Christ.
Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump and Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show. Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not so much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan.
It's not so beautiful today.
No, it's rainy. No, we can't. We have nothing to complain about. Are you kidding me?
This is true.
We have about 6 inches of rain while Houston has 6 feet of rain.
Right.
Absolutely not a thing in the world to complain about. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the F&G's, I think at Burning Man.
Yeah.
And then, but to fill his seat, we have Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, standing by in studio. Find us online, itinthed.com. Like us on all the socials and find us everywhere fine podcasts are sold. Oh, and by the way, you know, our calendar, you know, as you know, you can find us at the Meet tab. That's M-E-E-T.
Yeah.
We may have an announcement soon on the M-E-A-T tab.
Finally.
And it's a perfect deal.
I feel like all the things are coming together because we have other announcements that are coming very shortly as well.
Right. But I think the announcement of Meats having our own branded
the Monday Night
Meat Sticks.
Yes.
The Monday Night Meat Sticks. It's finally going to be a thing. Are we going to sell them online or are we just going to give them away at trade shows?
I think it's our giveaway. It should be.
But hey, this segment, this show is brought to you by our friends at Lawrence Tech University. If you're not aware of their bachelor's and master's in computer science, it is a phenomenal program. They are basically the school for IT. If you haven't followed Lawrence or not know it. Their masters, they actually have three designations or specializations, cybersecurity, program management, and also business analyst.
Yeah.
Find them online, ltu.edu, and just look up their degrees and their programs and appreciate the support.
Yeah, they do. They have a lot of good stuff going on.
With there being a negative unemployment in cybersecurity, that would be the first clickety-click I would make.
Yeah, exactly. If you're currently majoring in French, now would be a good time to go ahead and take a look at those IT degrees.
French lit.
Yeah, ancient Chinese mathematical theorems. Yeah.
Sanskrit.
Time to look at the IT degrees.
Sanskrit isn't a...
No, not high in demand, no.
This was a fun week for fast food. An article just came out I read today, and I'm like, I thought it was from The Onion. We're seeing more and more of this.
Is this the Russia?
Yes.
Yeah, is this Russia? It's not
is
Russia.
Is this Russia, is Danny? Yeah. Burger King.
In Russia.
In Russia.
Which, there's Burger King in Russia.
It's not Burgers Are?
No.
No, it's not Burger, yeah.
The Red Burgers. No, it's not. Boo. That was bad. But Burger King is launching its own cryptocurrency called Whopper Coin. Like, I wish I was making this. This is on CNBC.com.
Oh,
it's not like this is on some weirdo website. Like, this is like Whopper Coin. Like, I'm sure Mike Dennis will be buying some the way he
got it. He'll be figuring out how to harvest them.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, you like keep the burgers, but like, I don't know. Like, what is this? This is like, they're using blockchain.
They are.
The same principles that with Bitcoin are applying.
Uh-huh.
But the, what are they? What's.
Apparently, Burger King has just decided that they need to have their own currency and method of payment.
And their first deputy prime minister made a statement. I am a supporter. Crypto ground must exist.
So, I mean, I guess if you think about it logically, I mean, I guess here's one path to how this makes sense. So you have an economy like Russia's, which is very depressed. So, you know, money is tight. And so if you can come up with an alternative currency like your own cryptocurrency that people can do whatever they can do to earn that cryptocurrency, which one assumes gets preferential value at your locations, then it's one way to ensure that your business stays in business because you have – it's that hook. You know, it's like the old mining towns where, you know, yeah, you can work for the mining company, but you have to shop at the mining company store and you got to rent from the mining company rental apartments and you got to – yeah. So, I mean, as long as you have that closed economy, why not?
So, you know, and they basically said there's an app going to be released on Apple and the Googles next month for the digital tokens.
I heard the White House already has a preview.
No politics. But like, here's maybe I should have saved this for the last conversation, but I think it's first because this one's bizarre to me. And Taco Bell's been toying around with and they've been doing.
Well, like they've been doing a lot of – so they started – they added breakfast –
Right, which isn't bad. It's actually really good.
Well, yeah, but when it first came out, we were all like,
no.
No, not Taco Bell. You're not bread. No, you're last meal. You're not first meal.
Right.
Fourth meal.
Yeah, and then now, so now they want to be, they want to move earlier in the food chain. Is what I think I'm understanding.
But it's gonna be around the block from us here. So I'm intrigued. That's the only reason we're talking about it. Because if it was like open in Livonia, I wouldn't care. But it's literally
going to be
a block from our studio.
Yeah.
But it's the Taco Bell Cantina.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a full bar. And
now I feel like if they call it the Taco Bell Cantina, there'd better be at least one person cosplaying there at all times.
But no, you can't. It's cultural appropriation, Dave, haven't you learned? But like, here's my thing. It's kind of like that weird, really lonely beer tap at like Chuck E. Cheese and like at certain.
It's not lonely when I'm there.
But there's that, like when you go to like National Coney, there's like six of them that have like.
That have beer, yeah.
That like Michelob regular on tap. And it's like, it's like when I'm getting Taco Bell.
Well, let's be honest, because by the time you've made the decision in your life, like once the food chain of your decisions has led you to Taco Bell, you really don't need any more alcohol going into your system. You really don't.
Right, because usually you're like, hey, let's go to pick your Mexican Coney. Place. Or no, like well, if you're like, going out for Mexican.
Yeah, no, you're going to, you know, Azteca. You're going to, a good.
Southwest Detroit.
Yeah, you're going
Miguel's
to a Mexican
Cantina,
joint.
You're going to the place up in Oxford that everyone goes to, or Lake Orion, whatever.
Right.
I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
But then you're going to have a margarita because sometimes you just need a margarita.
No, but when you're going to Taco Bell, it's out of necessity.
Or brokenness.
Or brokenness. And so if it's by necessity, you don't need any more alcohol in your system.
So here's the thing.
If it's from brokenness, you're not affording the alcohol that's there.
No, here's the thing now. You're going to get that like $5 box fill up. And like you're gonna get an $8 margarita, like the math, it doesn't make sense to me. Because usually when you're ordering, like you're getting like a $15 like really nice steak tacos, then you get a couple margaritas, and it kind of
the
value proposition in your mind, balances out. Now you're gonna be like, wait a minute, I dropped $4 on food.
I ate $6 in tacos and I $30 in alcohol.
Right? Are we gonna go though? You better believe it.
Of course we're going. So
it'll be like – it's not going to be as cool as the Detroit Applebee's opening up.
I feel like we should have shirts made.
We'll get there.
The Taco Bell Cantina, you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's going to need to happen.
But the city says they haven't applied for their liquor license yet, so this could be not a thing.
That just means they haven't applied yet.
Diarrhea and beer shits at the same time.
Right. You can double down. Yeah.
Right. Your stomach's going to have two middle fingers like, what are you doing to me?
I'm not going to lie, though. My favorite story of the week, because this stupid thing annoyed the ever-living crap out of me. Dear people on the internet, if you're on Facebook, you are an adult. If you want to know what your friends think about you, ask them. You don't need to post a stupid anonymous app that they can fill out crap anonymously and talk smack about you. But the beauty of this is that Saraha – is it Saraha? Saraha?
Yes.
Mahawahaha?
Yes.
Whatever it is. The Saraha app – apparently it was beautifully and quietly uploading your entire address book to servers.
You smell farts on everyone's thing, like it uploaded my address book?
No, because you were probably posting through the web.
Yeah.
No, these are people that were starting it with the app. So the people that asked – so the little needy bastards.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God, you're so pretty.
Right.
And I still want to hang out with you more.
Right. So your contact info is uploaded because it was in Randy's phone, and Randy is a whiny little bitch. That's how that works.
We like you, Randy. You're so great. And then they're, like, Randy's reading all these nice compliments, then you eat poop, which was mine.
Right.
And then
– well, and the whole thing was dumb anyway because, I mean, like, literally, like, people were getting mad at people that had one.
Who writes this stuff?
Well, So then you had the people that were getting traumatized by the things that were being written about them. And I'm like, well, welcome to the internet. As soon as you enable anonymous commenting, bad things happen.
Right.
And then you had the people like, well, why are you screenshotting the responses that you're getting and posting them like everybody else does? Because
I want to see
what people are saying about you and blah, blah, blah. God, I hate people. I'm glad this happened. I'm glad stuff like this happens.
Dude, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
There's this
app. Which kind of dragon would you be?
Yeah.
There goes your friends list.
Right. This happens
every single one of them.
A quarter that this app comes out and takes everybody's stuff, but yet Messenger. Messenger's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, the apps released by major companies that actually have security and standards and all that kind
what
of
kind
stuff.
What kind of burrito are you? I'm a triple burrito.
Yeah, a cheap burrito with extra rice. Here's my friends list.
God. No, like.
I hate all the people.
You know who hates one person? The entire cybersecurity advisory board for the United States of America.
Oh, wait, but there isn't one anymore.
Yeah, they're
because they all resign.
The National Infrastructure Advisory Council.
Yeah.
Who basically they were in charge of national cybersecurity collectively.
And they said Trump wasn't taking them seriously. And so they pulled the parachute cord and they're out. All of them.
There was a rumor that he yelled, "This is all a bunch of horse apples." I'm just kidding. He didn't say that.
That's okay. Hey, you know what? I heard he's going to be in Springfield, Missouri this week, and I've got $20 that says he thinks he's going to visit the Simpsons. That's my whole thing.
I wouldn't doubt it. Why don't they have the Simpsons Town? No, but like now what? Like I never – like we never understood what the CIO of like the USA did, and Andre kind of spelled it out for us.
Yeah.
I still don't quite get it. I still don't understand what the CIO of like the state of Michigan does, but like – they spelled it out for us pretty well. Especially now with all this crap about hacking and with voting machines.
And cyber war. And I mean, it's a real thing.
An advisory council is your lifeblood. And granted, there's still NSA. And granted, there's still stuff. But this was like – this rose above that. This was like your board of directors for the NSA. Gone. All gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie. That's –
it's a tad concerning
for an IT guy. Yeah, you know what are you gonna what can you get into? What can you see? Like these people were finding it out, and now they're not.
Yeah, no, that's a problem. Although speaking of not being able to see things, I do find it hilarious that there was a disturbing spike in search engines around the world the day after the eclipse. That basically said the varieties of, okay, I stared at the sun and my eyes hurt. Now what?
Come on, man.
Dude, I got nothing.
Come on, man.
Because we talked about this last week. Like how many times.
Look at it through your sunroof
when we were
glass.
Kids, it was under no circumstances do you look at the eclipse. None. Like it was you poke a hole in a piece of paper and you look at the reflection and the little shadow box thing you could build and all that. And, you know, all these, you know, and welding helmets aren't strong enough and yada, yada, yada. And then you've got our fearless leader out on the patio in the Rose Garden.
The funny thing is the Google Trends graph is hysterical.
Oh, yeah, because
you
it's like
you want to talk
flat
a hockey stick graph, there's douche. nothing.
All the searches.
All right. It's like, what? It's kind of like a Super Bowl on like looking
like
up.
Like Domino's pizza orders on Super Bowl.
Or looking at the porn searches for like.
Right. Oh, there's halftime. Yeah. Yeah.
But what else was there? There was another
one. The
one
that confuses me is, so like everybody, I know a few people that were all gung-ho. That like took advantage of the opportunity and took trips down to Cuba. And they've got, you know, phenomenal pictures. They got great stuff. Apparently there is a problem in Cuba if you are a U.S. diplomat or somebody attached to the U.S. embassy where someone's using sonic attacks. And I don't mean that they're sending you like to a drive-thru.
Or hedgehogs.
No, like there are sonic weapons being used in Cuba that are making people sick and in some cases causing permanent damage.
Like we're not talking about like that weird – what was it? The island in between Canada and the U.S. So, like with a – like you, the like it's buzzing in Canada. Like,
right. I remember that. Like, yeah. And it's not the brown note from South Park.
It's not the mystery radio tone from Russia.
No, it's not. Like they're getting – like they said in some cases it's pretty obvious the damage was done via microwave. like they're shooting microwaves at people's bodies, which, well, microwaves cook things. And well, like, that's a problem.
It's like infrasound. It's a low frequency noise. You sure it's not bass coming from like the 1957 Chevys?
No, it's
it's beyond the range of human hearing. It causes fatigue, apathy, hearing loss, confusion, disorientation, nausea.
Yeah,
but like, how do they know if they can't? If it's beyond the realm of hearing?
Well, because they're seeing. So what they've done is they've basically installed detectors, you know, almost like radiation detectors and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And so they can tell that these things are in use, and they're trying to triangulate where they're coming from. And then more to the point, based on the effects that are these people are experiencing and suffering from, that's how they know what's going on.
Yeah, so it's five Canadian – sorry, Randy. They said five Canadian envoys and their family members have fallen ill at the same exact time. It's just not food poisoning.
Yes, no, it's not. It's not food
poisoning. Based on that list of symptoms you read, it sounds like it's maybe just a few hertz away from the brown noise, though.
Well, it could be like every single medication that's on commercials, like
right where the possible side effects are worse than whatever right. you're suffering from.
Could include bleeding from the eyes, death, right. and diarrhea.
Yeah, do you have a headache? Yeah, do you have a headache? Take this pill. May cause death, diarrhea, bleeding from. Yeah, that's amazing. I always love that one. Yeah, the weird. I think possibly the weird one is, you know, we always love the tinfoil hat theories. And there's one being floated around now where – so the I forget his exact rank. I think it was Admiral of the 7th Fleet was removed from his position because of the number of collisions that have involved U.S. military warships over the course of the past year. Yeah. And there are now people saying that it may well be hackers.
You know, this came from USA Today. So I usually keep the
– Was it in the USA Today?
Today.
Today?
Yeah. No, it was yesterday. No, but it's usually – this didn't come from pick your du jour
right.
of like clickbait.
Yeah.
You know, USA Today usually puts stuff out
that – They at least vet stuff.
Right. But they're like – there was two instances and they're basically they're thinking it's hacking. But it's like how did – there two collisions in the water. That's like –
Well, but I mean, you think about how advanced.
I'm sorry, four accidents.
So you think about how advanced the technology in those boats is, you know, and you know when you look at, you know, whether it's the GPS positioning, you know, and you know, in this last case, I mean, they slammed into a tanker from. I don't want to say. I mean, it was a lesser known country, so probably lesser, you know, lesser able technology. But I mean, one would assume, you know, for all of the bajillions of dollars that they spend on it, the U.S. military has some decent tech, you know, when it comes to global positioning and them knowing where their ships are exactly and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, for something to go wrong with that, you know, even if it's, you know, maybe it's not. Hackers, maybe it's, you know, your weakest link is the people.
Well, that's what they basically said. Crew negligence is the most likely explanation.
Right.
I guess a bunch of experts looked into this. So there's really no evidence. But they also said the technology to jam or misdirect the navigational software is readily available.
Not if they jam it.
Right. Raspberry. you know. What does it say? Oh, the only way to spoof such a system is to use a record and replay attack. And it's basically recording of the old encryption, like old location data, and then using it again. But, you know, again, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No. You know, especially
fooling
when you
it to think – like that means it thinks it's somewhere it's not. Yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at – you know, we've had the same conversations about the autonomous cars and that kind of stuff where the easiest way – to get into them, and this is what they're doing with all the proof of concept attacks that they're doing, is basically to just flood the system.
Yeah.
And you flood the system with what you want, you know, you want it to do to the point where it finally just gives up and says, okay, that's what I'll do.
Well, and that's what the guy that was talking about this or getting quoted the most in this, he said in 13, him and his grad student friends basically spoofed a $80 million yacht's GPS and sent it hundreds and hundreds of yards off course, like, you know, without them knowing.
Yeah. No, it's a thing.
That's scary crap, man. I'm not going to lie. Like that was like the last two.
Let's put it in all our cars.
No, that's that. Yeah, exactly. That was the last the two big things they said. You want to knock out the U.S. is do an electrical attack. Like do like a. You know, now they're doing that crap in Cuba. God, what the hell's going on with this show today?
Well, did remember, I mean, so like, think back to 2003 when the power grid went down, you know, and everybody lost their effing minds. You know, I mean, it's, you know, the first, I remember walking out, I was at work, and I remember walking out to my car just to be able to turn on my radio. And all, I mean, this is when the, you know, within the first hour of it happening, all anybody was talking about was that it was another terrorist attack. You know, that's all anybody said it was. You know, it wasn't just that a power grid failed. It was,
I thought it was the aliens, dude. I looked in the sky for an hour.
Why does that not, there are no, you don't even believe we landed on the moon.
No, there. When I was like seven or eight, the gas, little, I don't even know what to call it, on Moravian and Shaner blew up. And it was like three, four in the morning, and the skies were like orange, like bright orange, like in the middle of the night from this, like this flame. And it melted cars, it melted
like
houses.
A refinery, or
if we drove by it, I'll show you what it is. It's like this blue pipes. It's just like a thing, like in the middle of a piece of land, like right on literally on Moravian and Shaner.
Okay.
And like, oh yeah, I'll never, like to this day, haunted. Like my mother had to lay in bed with me till I was like 12 because I thought it was the aliens coming. And I'm screaming. So we just got done watching whatever God Bless movie, Alien or whatever.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And I'm like, ah, aliens are here. So like when like the 2001 blackout.
Right.
Oh, it's aliens. Like I was convinced. Like, you couldn't get me around it. But hey, we're going to end this this segment. We got to talk about what Facebook's doing around elections. And in Europe right now, it's kind of I don't want to say scary. They just got done deleting 30,000 accounts around the French election. Now the Germany election's coming up, and they're deleting by the thousands fake accounts that they said they're either to protect users from disinformation.
Which, candidly, dude, good for them.
But, I mean, who's the arbiter of what's fake and what's not? Again, how can Facebook, like, what – are they using slant? Are they being impartial? Like, you know, that's a – you know.
Well, but, I mean, you look at – you know, and this is one of those times where, I can see both sides of the equation where, like, you know, Facebook came down with their – you know, their real name, their true identity policy. And then people pushed back because, well, you know, I need to have a Facebook account under a pseudonym because, you know, of I'm a political dissident and, you know, I'm living, you know, abroad, or, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm whatever, you know, my occupation or whatever. And so, you know, I can see that side of it. But
well,
then
here's the thing. They got laws written around hate speech in Germany. And I get that. There's the pretty – that's a pretty defined cut and dry case with hate speech. With political stuff, like if you I live on PolitiFact to get most of my – to decipher my information.
Right.
You have it mostly true, mostly false. There's a lot of gray area.
Uh-huh.
So where is it on Facebook if it's mostly true?
It's all true.
Delete it as misinformation?
From a certain point of view.
Exactly. So where do you – where's that line drawn on what they're deleting, what they're not? And that's what bothers me, this whole thing.
It's Germany. Who cares?
I care. Still got my family's all there crying out loud.
Well, you know, if one of their accounts gets deleted, then you can then we can talk about it.
Whatever. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with
– you know, we did not talk about – we've got the Ann Arbor event coming up next
September
Tuesday.
5th, Tuesday, yeah. September 5th.
Go to the meat tab.
Connor O'Neill's.
And I just want to make sure we specifically mentioned it.
Go to the meat tab.
It's there.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Kayla from Hatchy Trait and Hamisi from Bob Fair. This is the IT in the D show, and we will be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment two. This is episode 211 of the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful rainy Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitter's. Walker is in studio. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we are IT in the D and you,
you still are
still complaining about us. We'll be seeing you about it a month at the – tech conference. What? Did I say that out loud? But hey, you spent, Dave, you spent last Friday.
Friday night.
The Hatch Detroit finalist.
I did.
And we have Kayla from Hatch Detroit in the house because Victoria is sick.
She just doesn't love us anymore.
I know. That's what I thought.
She's sick.
She doesn't want to. She does. No, getting her out of the confines of the 313 is like pulling teeth with that woman. But no, we are very lucky to have Kayla here. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing phenomenal. So before we get to the winner of the 2017 Hatch Detroit contest, why don't, I know we had Victoria on talking about it, but why don't we give a little quick rundown of, I guess, how Hatch started and what you guys do?
So Hatch was started by Nick Gorga in 2011, and it's just an annual contest that we have every year for up-and-coming businesses and entrepreneurs, and we try and open those businesses for the first time and premiere them in the city. And so the grant is a $50,000 grant that Comerica grants to us to give to the winner of the contest. So
not only that, though, I think they get like – what, like almost like $250,000 in services? Don't they get like legal?
Absolutely.
Like accounting?
Legal services, PR right. services, all types of stuff. It's just, you name it. If they give us the need, then we try and meet it as best possible.
Well, we're seeing some, besides Batch, I'm trying to think, who are some of the other winners that are like making a huge impact in town? It's kind of a...
LaFaria.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Live Still Cycle Delight. There.
And this wasn't the vegan. I'm trying to think which...
Detroit Vegan.
And
Sister Pie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Sister Pie. You can't go anywhere without seeing Sister Pie.
No.
You can buy their cookies at Shinola for crying out loud. I mean, and they're good too.
Of course, yeah.
But like, these are like, I don't want to say cornerstone brands, but these are well-known big brands that didn't start from nothing. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that
Absolutely.
Went into those building these brands. But they're, you know, they're impacting our lives in the city,
making us buy locally more.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really good.
But so this year they announced the winner and we got him in studio.
Well, see, I mean, it came down to there were four finalists. So, you know, Friday night, you know, when I was there, you know, brought the remote gear out, did some recording and yakking with people. You know, so it came down to there was Detroit Blows.
Barbara Tanica.
Which was Detroit. which is like a hairstyling blowout.
It was a blowout salon that was intended to be downtown for the working woman, the passerby. You know, she doesn't have enough time to go get her hair done at her neighborhood salon, so she goes downtown.
Exactly. Dear Hatch finalists, if we mangle your description, it's all our fault.
but next to Vault of Midnight. Because, I mean, if that sign doesn't make you do a double take, I don't know what will.
Right. And then Bar Botanica, which, you know, kind of a cool concept as
Afro-Latina
well.
Afro-Latina bar and cafe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. A lip bar, which apparently like, I didn't know until the question got asked that they had been on Shark Tank.
Yes.
A couple years ago. Like different kind of lipsticks, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she's vegan lipstick products. So that's really cool because the makeup market is large right now, so...
That's always been the problem with the animal testing. They haven't heard about that since I've been a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
you always see the cartoons of bunnies with lipstick and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And that, so I want to make sure: is it baobab or baobab?
Baobab.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Baobab Fair, which is an East African
restaurant.
Yeah,
and market.
Yes. So and you guys won.
Yes.
Kind of cool.
We are so grateful.
It wasn't an easy competition.
It wasn't easy because the four finalists was strong enough and was very smart, you know. And the concept, I think, I found out that when I went to the final and when we went down Detroit, where we was trying to talk to people about our concept, they was very, very strong and... That's scary. I'm not sure that we're going to win this contest.
See, I had an absolute blast talking with you before the show. Like, didn't realize, like, I was reading a little bit, but you were explaining to me you're a refugee only from a couple years ago from East Africa, from Burundi.
Yes, I'm a refugee. I came to the United States in 2015, the end of 2015, and everything was new for me because a small country like Burundi, 10 million of population, poor country and jump in the United States, everything is big and was totally different.
So one of the things I brought up to you was I said, you know, I always love when there's new cultures or get introduced to new foods. And I said, you know, explain to me. I go, I understand Ethiopian cuisine. I've had Moroccan cuisine and I understand it's West Coast Africa, Northern Africa. but I've never really had East Coast African now. And you were explaining it's completely different. Now, why don't you, I guess, tell everyone like what kind of the nuances or what's different about like Burundi or East African cuisine that makes your restaurant special?
Yeah, the cuisine of from East Africa is totally different because our cuisine, we are using more ingredient, natural ingredient. So we are mixing ingredient so to get taste for the food, which is
You were telling me like powdered spices don't exist. You actually have to physically grind, and it's more of an organic function. Like there's a process to even making the common spices to you know dress the food.
Definitely, because we don't have those capacity to for agriculture, you know, industry, and everything we are doing manual, and is like in your backyard where you can produce. So that's why we don't have a big amount of food. You know, we have a little bit smaller, but it's great.
So what is I guess what I saw it online. I saw what the picture looks like, but explain what a common meal would look like or when you go to Baobab.
Yeah, Baobab, we're going to – the menu is – I think that concept of having vegan food here in the United States is something new or is something how can I say – marketing. But in Burundi is the life – It's life because people don't have money to buy meat, you know, to buy all these things. What you do is like if your mom have money to buy like peas and potatoes and carrot, he gonna mix it and he gonna put some ingredient and it's awesome.
Well, you're explaining to me if someone had like a pound of meat. And that pound of meat, it doesn't just get eaten at two plates. It gets eaten in the neighborhood.
Yeah, in the neighborhood, you're going to give to your next door, and the next door going to give the next door. And at the end of the day, you're going to come back to your house. So because you have to test, all the neighborhood have to test the meat.
what an amazing culture. Because like here, if you bring a plate of food to your neighbor, they're going to look at you like you just like, what are you doing? Like, get out of here. Unless you want to invite them for a barbecue. They
you're right.
You. Yeah. I watched you cook it. I will eat it.
You know, exactly. Yeah, now that I know it's been done to it, yes. Right. So, and you said step one is you're going to be starting up with a pop-up?
Yeah, we're going to have a pop-up next week. Definitely, we are planning accordingly. Pop-up, we're going to let people know if you follow us on Facebook and Instagram and our website. So we're going to have pop-up. We had a very good experience before we go to the final. We sold over 100 dishes in 35 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Everybody was supposed to start at 6 up to 9, but 35 minutes, everything was over.
8 hours of cooking, gone in a half an hour. Like, oh my God.
This is not a bad problem to have. Yeah.
And I'm part of staff. Where's the food is always gone every time I go to eat it.
Of course, yeah.
Where is the pop-up going to be?
We are not sure yet because we have to talk with last time we went, we was at Brooklyn Street on Michigan Avenue.
Okay.
So we may go back there and then to say thank you to them because they were so nice, and I want to say that we didn't pay to them. They donated us.
Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So nice. This is something we are grateful for the support. Everybody was supporting the idea.
So and then like long term, like do you have your eye on – because I mean you said it's not just a restaurant. It's also going to be a market. So I mean like do you have an eye on a location already? Have you been you know scouting areas? Do you you know do you think you kind of know where you want to be in the city?
Yeah, we had a very serious conversation with the owner of the building in West Village. And we was around, visited the neighborhood. It's a nice – find that it's a nice neighborhood, it's a vibe, people walk around. And another thing, there is no market on that side, so we're going to bring the market.
So now what would – I'm trying to think this through. Like what would a market that goes along with that restaurant – like would you be just staffing or stocking stuff that goes along with the food? Is it more of a general purpose market? Like what would the market be selling?
The market would be selling food. Food, we're going to import food from East Africa, spices from East Africa, and You can find the same spices here, but the taste is totally different. So, and...
No, we were talking about that. It's like you can tell New York pizza from, like, Detroit, because, like, you can tell it from the water.
Well, yeah, like bagels and yeah. that kind of stuff.
And, like,
yeah.
when I go to Germany, there's, like, five things that are inherently different. Dairy, like, butter. I don't drink milks, but I mean, like, dairy, like, butter-wise. Bread, the way they, the yeast, yeah. the way they, coffee, and the beer. It's just completely, yeah. there's nothing that can you can compare it to here.
Yeah. So we're going to, you know, is the country for now is a poor country with the war for years and years. And people, especially young generation, they don't have a job. So we want to introduce these things. We want to give them the chance to make, to be in agriculture and to make something, because it's organic.
Yeah.
So then we can have them chance to buy from them and then to sell it here. Mm-hmm. Because they need that money. They need the current money to have a hope and to think about tomorrow.
We were talking about the coffee business offline.
Yeah, the coffee business. I think the coffee, Burundian coffee Arabica, is the first one in the world. But nobody talk about it.
Huh.
Yeah, Google it. Yeah, it's the first coffee in the world, but nobody talk about it. You're going to find countries like Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Rwanda.
Right.
They're using the same coffee from Burundi, but they're putting the brand that is from those countries, but it's from Burundi. But you don't find the coffee from made in Burundi here in the United States.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. So this is kind of thing we want to promote the country. Yeah, but this is a proud for all the country, I'm sure, and share the culture to the neighborhood. Yeah.
Very cool. All right, well, looking forward to seeing what you got going on. So it's Baobab, B-A-O-B-A-B, Fair, F-A-R-E.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll have the links to your Facebook page and all that stuff. Keep an eye out for the pop-up next week.
Yeah.
And then the, I guess, what else is on the horizon for you? I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, I mean, it was just Friday night, so I'm sure you're still coming down off the high a little bit.
Let's see, what are some of the menu items that are going to be at the pop-up?
We use the pop-up... We decided that pop-up is going to be a buffet. So then people can have a choice and can have a large and taste everything they want. So then at the end, when we're going to open the restaurant, we, you know, are still keeping in my mind that we can make a buffet at certain time and we can have a menu on card. Another. So before, for example, in the dinner, we can have buffet and lunch. We can order on the menu. Yeah.
And all the rage right now is the bowls. It's the and I thought I saw a bowl on your pop up. Is that now? What are you comprising your bowl with? Is it with rice, like meat, vegetables? Like what are the different?
We had coconut rice.
Okay.
We had a spice pilau. It's a spicy rice. We had. Peas, potatoes, and carrots mix. We had onion and chicken. Chicken is marinated. We had beef. So we had spinach. People like the spinach. They say this is the first time they ate that spinach. And we have yellow beans. We had also plantain, boiled plantain and fried plantain. And we have large and large. So for the next pop-up, we're looking to do breakfast, African breakfast, buffet.
So what's African breakfast?
That one is we call it African tea. It's milk with ginger and just tea,
mm-hmm.
but we put together everything. We mix, and we have donuts. The original one, not this one. You eat.
It's a McDonald's. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
what?
We call chapati. We have beans. We have meats. You have potatoes in the breakfast and.
There's a good question. So what is – like what's the spice profile like? Like so like people – like when they think of Thai food, they think it's really spicy and hot. When they think of – you know, Mexican food. It can be spicy, but it tends to be more flavor. Like, so where does this fall into?
So our spices is not hot. It's perfumed.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's tasty. Yeah.
So what spices would that be?
We mix. That is our secret.
In general, though. Like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, in general,
smart.
It's
chicken salt grease. No, that's, yeah.
Cardamom.
Yeah, in general, it's natural spices, herb. We mix herb and put in the blender, and then that's it. It's not something powders. We don't use powders. It's just natural spices. So that we mix, and that's it. Yeah.
So how do you take into American food? I gotta ask, what's some of your favorites and what don't you like?
American food.
You told me you don't like hamburgers, so that's gonna be the
yeah. I find it like you guys, you are not, your food is limited. You don't have large, food. Like you can eat this one. For example, we eat every single day rice. But with different accompaniment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't feel like you're tired to eat rice, you know?
Gotcha.
But here is either hamburger, pizza. I don't think that you have more than that.
Huh.
So have you gone to a nice barbecue place?
Yes. Sometimes. But barbecue is only in summer. That's a problem in Michigan. So we want to do, you're going to have every single day barbecue meats at the Bob Buffet.
If Bob had his way, that's exactly how it would work.
Yeah. Well, that's what my joke always was when I worked for the Japanese. They always had the two worst foods in the world. Number one, British, and the second is German. Yeah. I'm like, I like German food, but like, yeah, he's right, though. There's not this. If you're used to growing up with a spice profile in your food,
mm-hmm.
and you come and eat an American food, which is it is rather plain.
I mean, he's right. I mean, by and large, it doesn't matter where you go get a burger. By and large, I mean, like, there's the outlier of an exceptional burger somewhere, mm-hmm. but by and large, I don't care. Like, if you're McDonald's, Tellway, Burger King, it's a burger.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So this is. I think Detroit is lucky because this is born in Detroit, and this is gonna be our brand. We're gonna expand. This is what I'm thinking in 5 years, in 10 years, to be in other cities. But this is from Detroit. Everybody gonna say one day this born in Detroit, because I was, when we were in the final, people were saying this idea came from LA, this idea came from New York, this idea came from where. No.
True. Yeah.
So today, we are making an history. We are building something who is born in Detroit. I think everybody can be proud.
This is a very multicultural city. You'll see everything from, and I think this is a welcome addition to everything we have from American food to new food, and something I definitely look forward to trying.
Yeah.
So
keep an eye out for that pop-up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we have to get there in the first 35 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
I
can't talk about it on the air. Never mind. Went to another pop-up, and my wife's still complaining about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, We're gonna wrap things up.
Nice short episode. I'm gonna splice in some of the stuff from Friday night, in when we release it out in syndication. But yeah, this is gonna wrap things up.
Perfect. Kayla from Hatch Detroit, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me.
HatchDetroit.com. Hamisi, we're gonna put a link on Twitter and also on Facebook to find Bob Fair.
Thank you so much.
Look forward to trying your food. I can't wait. I can tell that when someone cooks with you and it's almost like their life's passion. Like you can see in their eyes, and that's the food I want to eat. So I definitely look forward to it. But on behalf of myself, Bob, Dave, and Randy, appreciate the time you spent with us tonight. Stay dry, and like I said, do us a favor and please Google where to help out the folks that aren't as lucky as us.
Or just hit our Facebook page and click the link.
The minimum donation, I believe, is $10. $20 if you're eating a fancy lunch, but it's just a day's lunch. Go eat ramen tomorrow and help out someone down in Houston. We'd really appreciate that. But hey, this is going to be episode 211 of the IT and the D Show. Do us another favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.